All right. It's go time.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do, Casey, just to bring you up to speed. This is a new thing.
Okay.
We're going to set a new standard, new tradition.
Okay.
All right. You ready? You pumped?
Ready.
Okay. So I'm going to play the Thunder Punch Daily theme without the words. And you have to, you're the guest, you have to say, and now for a Thunder Punch special with Jersey Drozd, and you have to say with Jersey Drozd, just like Tara Platt does, where you sound like you're proud of me, okay?
I'll do my best.
All right, you ready? Here it comes. Three, two, one.
And now for a Thunder Punch special with Jersey Drozd.
Wow, you finished too fast.
I jumped the gun there.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing about treading new ground and trying new things. It's an adventure. Yeah. It's fun.
It's a Thunder Punch adventure.
So, yeah, this is not a regular Thunder Punch Daily. This is a special Thunder Punch Daily because I would never bring on a guest onto the regular TPD because that's my show, my turf, my rooms. Don't touch my stuff.
Stay out. No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. Men at work. Beware. Explicit lyrics. Whatever other signs kids put on their doors when they're teenagers.
What's the password?
And so with me is none other than Casey Van Heis. Casey Van all caps of the Twitters.
That's me.
And of wintersandlavelle.com.
That's also me.
And so these specials, we're going to just tackle a little mini topic, a little mini conversations. So it'll be like sort of like Art and Story Extreme, except we will actually try to stay on topic. It'll be unique.
Ooh, that's a tall order.
I know. So,
hey, I'll do my best.
What'd you have for lunch today?
Oh, man. I went to, I had comics.
You had comics for lunch? You eat comics?
Every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Comics. That's how you get successful, everybody. Successful like me.
You know, I've decided to embrace my horrible 2D cutout version of myself as the comics advocate. And I changed my Google status because, you know, like you can have your Google chat status if you're logged into Gmail.
Yeah.
And I changed mine to just comics with an exclamation point.
With like 8 exclamation points after it.
Oh, I'm changing it now. I'm changing it to that.
Sweet.
That's even better. Yeah. Okay. So there's one exclamation point. I'm adding 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go. And enter. Excellent. Now my Google status is now comics with many exclamation points. So
how excited you are about advocating comics. Seven or 8 times excited.
At least the cardboard cutout version of me that is happy all the time and deals with everything with a sense of ease and aplomb, not the true life version of me who is very bitter and depressed and angry at the world because it didn't turn out the way he wanted it.
Yeah, we're sad all the time because we're cartoonists.
When are we going to do an autobio comic, Casey?
Oh, man. Let me know. I'll let you know when I feel like gazing at my navel for a while and writing about how sad I am.
I'm going to do an autobio comic about how every time I talk to you, you assault my brain with really sad things on the internet that I did not know about.
And I'll just do a comic about how I was raised by the internet and I don't know any better. I keep alienating people because I tell them weird things from the internet.
Now, and that was my really crude, bumpy segue into talking about what would be the topic for today's mini discussion is that here you are, you were raised by the internet. I was not raised by the internet. And you know what? I'm wondering if our opinions differ in any way on the role of netiquette and the way to behave on the internet. This is how old I am. I'm actually doing a mentoring program with a senior in high school over the internet. I think he's in New Jersey, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
And I'm walking him through the process of building a webcomic from scratch. And he's got his webcomic up now.
Wow.
And yeah, I'll be posting about it in the next couple of days. And so we're on the part of our journey talking about self-promotion. And he was telling me how he's going to start using Livestream, and he's going to use Tumblr, and he's going to use Facebook to get the word out about his work. And I was like, oh, wow, that's terrific that you're already plugged into those things. And I said, because, you know, and he mentioned that he wants to get videos on YouTube as well. I was like, good mm-hmm. thinking. Yeah. And I said, you know, when I started doing webcomics, there was no YouTube. And he's like, no, come on. I'm like, no,
there was
seriously.
Never not a YouTube.
Well, this kid is 17, right? And so I said,
yeah, actually, there was never not a YouTube for him then, huh?
Precisely. I was thinking about it. I was like, YouTube was like, it came out what, like 04, 05, somewhere in the neighborhood?
Yeah. I think 2005 is when it started.
And
which,
so I had already been doing webcomics for 2 years at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for this kid, that's going back to sixth grade, you know? So.
Yeah, he probably wasn't allowed to use the internet.
Exactly, right? So like for kids today, they're growing up with this stuff, and it's just like it's a given. Facebook, YouTube, they've always been there. And there's nothing wrong.
Old.
Well, and, you know, and I don't want to turn this into like kids that don't know what they're missing or
kids these days.
Yeah.
No, now my navel gazing comic is going to be about how old I feel.
It's going to be about you giving people problems when you're waiting in line at anime conventions like an old lady.
That's what I do best.
I have a coupon for 12% off.
I started going to these in 1997, and let me tell you, things were different.
When we cosplayed, we put a paper bag over our head and drew a face on it. And we liked it.
Those big eyes to look like Ranma, not like like your Yu-Gi-Ohs and your whatever else is popular right
Bakugan.
Now.
Bakugan.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So anyway, the point is that, you know, this thing about netiquette. Oh gosh, I was just listening to another podcast recently, and I don't remember which one it was, but they were pointing out how we need an Emily Post to come along and say what is proper and what is improper etiquette on the internet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's some general rules of thumb, but most of those rules of thumb tend to be very vague and very, you know, don't be a jerk. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, I feel like I've been told that a lot. I feel like there are some... Well, okay, not personally.
I was going to say...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to hold back.
Hey, I'm Casey Van Nice. I hear that three times a day, you know?
Yeah, that's... I'm just a curmudgeon. No, I feel like there are some general kind of isms that you can apply, especially if you're conducting yourself as a creator. Obviously, don't be a jerk is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the things that I thought was interesting is in the How to Make Webcomics book, they talk about building an online audience and kind of how to conduct yourself. And they don't really tell you what not to do. They just say that depending on how you act is generally the type of person that you'll attract to your work, which I think is kind of true to an extent. If you're the kind of person like Scott Kurtz who likes to start fights or be contentious, you're going to attract people who are interested in that kind of behavior. I mean, not necessarily saying that only the only people that will listen to you are also jerks or something like that. But I feel like it's true to an extent. It's like how just in any situation you gravitate towards the people you're similar to. I feel like that is also kind of something that comes up as an internet presence. And I think if you're doing comics on the internet, if you're starting webcomics, that's something that you have to consider, is you are part of the process, whether you like it or not. Because I know that does make some people feel a little weird. But that's, you're a personality and your personality ties into your comic. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you don't have to build a persona around it. It's just, you know, you have to keep that in mind when you're working. And I think that's basically just my general kind of approach to it.
Right. Yeah, you know, and this is something I was talking about on a recent Art and Story, actually. I should stop saying that all the time. I always say it like to qualify the fact that I know I'm repeating myself, but if I don't remember the episode I said it in, nobody else is going to remember either. So this may be repeating myself. How about I say that?
There you go.
It's my suspicion that whatever shortcomings or virtues you have in your personality, they're going to come through in some way. By being
absolutely.
Engaging online, no matter what cards you keep close to the vest, people are going to be able to figure out what makes you tick.
Yeah.
And what's more is the more plugged in you are, the more you're interacting, the more times you have the opportunity to slip and say something out of the heat of the moment. And believe it or not, there are things that I've said online that I go, ooh, I wish I didn't say that now. And I try to be really careful about what I say. But so it's my suspicion that if you're going to do any kind of social media engagement or any kind of having any kind of vocal presence on your site, there's some comics out there where the author has really no presence on the site, right?
Yeah, but I feel like you don't hear about those as much. Any of the big examples of
I thought it was Apple Geeks was one of them. No?
No, because that's Anunth, right?
Oh.
Whose last name I cannot remember. Yuko and Anunth do another webcomic called Johnny Wander, which is entirely about them. It's an autobiography.
Oh. Okay.
It's about them and their friends, and that's actually something that they have carefully kind of, I don't want to say groomed, but they carefully pick what they put in that to kind of maintain a tone for it, where they only do they do upbeat stories about that. Like, they're not doing like sad autobiography stuff. And I picked up the book at whatever convention I got that at, and they specifically show a couple of stories they didn't put in because they were like, well, this was a little too, you know, down. It was a little too downbeat for what we do, because they usually do like amusing anecdotes.
Okay.
So some, and I know that they have their own internet presence. So I feel like sooner or later, you're gonna come like become a factor of it.
It sure seems that way. I mean, and this is this has been a hot topic with a lot of discussion of the future of media in general, is like just getting used to this idea that what we think is private is not so private anymore. And while none of my listeners probably know what my favorite food is or what my license plate number is or, you know, who my favorite sibling is or anything like that, you know, a lot of my personal information is still personal.
Yeah.
What is now public is the essence of who I am, and
that's
all
the
of the good and bad,
right?
I think that's the part that'll come through no matter what you do. I think it's just the core of your personality, the type of person you are, is what you can't hide. But yeah, you don't have to talk. Like, I don't, for the most part, I don't talk about like my day job or you know, things like that, like the day to day stuff that you don't have to share it.
That's true. But I only found out like 2 weeks ago what the heck you do for a living.
I'm a secret agent. So y'all know. That's what I do. I fight crime.
She's actually Knight Rider, everybody.
It's me, yeah. That's my car.
No, really. She's David Hasselhoff. She's Knight Rider.
It's true. I sound very different in audio. Believe it or not.
Anyway,
but
you know what's funny is that while you would think, okay, so a lot of people are probably relieved by that thought, but I still think you shouldn't be relieved by that thought, because getting to know, it's, gosh, I always think of the Neverending Story movie. Have you seen that yet, Case?
No.
Oh, that's okay.
It's a good, I feel really bad about that. That's one of my other secrets, is I don't talk about how many good movies I've never seen.
Well, not everybody would agree it's a good movie. You know, just because Dave Roman loves it and Brandon loves it and I love it doesn't mean that it's or Brandon Dayton, I should say, BrandonDayton.com.
Sounds like something I would like.
It probably
does. Which is why I feel bad that I haven't seen it. I'll just go cry and watch Hook 8 more times.
But there's this thing in the story where the hero comes across the magic mirror gate, and he can't pass unless he can confront the magic mirror gate. And what's in the magic mirror? But it reveals your true self to you. And the other characters are hearing about this and like, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. And he's like, what are you talking about? Kind men discover that they're cruel. Brave men discover they're really cowards. Confronted with your true self, most men run away screaming. You know, and I think about that line of dialogue when I think about your inner core being exposed by engaging on the internet. So that is always on my mind, and I'm always measuring what I say against what I consider to be my best attributes, what I consider to be my best attributes, not necessarily what anybody else would think are my best. So that comes down to this whole netiquette thing, is like that. That's how, at least the yardstick I use. But I get the feeling a lot of people who engage in social media and blogging and things aren't thinking about that, because if they are, then they must be kind of a jerk. I want to believe that they're just not thinking it through.
Yeah. I think most people kind of don't play it that close. You know, with that careful of consideration. I feel like I probably... I know what you mean, though, because I tend to try to keep that in mind when I'm saying things, but not too much. Like, I'm largely pretty much myself on Twitter. I mean, there is a lot of stuff I want to approach or, like, try to tone back the swearing or things like that, you know.
Oh, that's right. You do use curse words on Twitter, I noticed. I forgot about that.
I use big girl swears sometimes.
But, you know, that's not what I'm talking about.
I don't do it as much as I used to, though.
You know, but that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, like, I don't get, like, so I don't get bent out of shape if somebody swears. What, because, like, I follow people who have, like, really filthy mouths. But I'm talking about, like, really what we would call, I think most of us would agree, are bad or not productive behaviors or attitudes. Like being passive aggressive, like like being whiny or defeatist or...
Yeah, I feel like the core of that, I feel like I'm just boiling everything down to its basic points, but I feel like the core of that is kind of a, like a please like me kind of desperation.
Yeah,
and it'll come off as clingy or passive aggressive or things like that. And I think it's just, I mean, I understand. I've been there and I'm still there sometimes. It's really scary when you're starting out and you don't know anybody that makes comics. I went to, before Mocha every year, they do a party called Drink and Draw Like a Lady. And it's for female cartoonists to go to and like socialize and get to meet other like female cartoonists. And I was terrified out of my mind the first year because I didn't know anybody except the people I was with. And I was like, I'm never going to make any cartoonist friends. And it took a lot of power to not go up and start being like, please like me. Can you talk to me? I don't have any friends here or something like that. And I understand you get panicked. You start a comic and you get radio silence because of the first 3 months or whatever, at least maybe more of what you're doing online, you're not going to hear much from. And I can understand that it's really easy to kind of fall into the temptation of doing the whole, like, I know you've talked about it before, the, like, please retweet kind of thing.
Oh, we just talked about that in Art Story Extreme, yeah.
Yeah. That was, I was listening to that earlier today. But, I think when you're in that mindset, that's when that kind of behavior really gets to be its worst, is because it's just... maybe it's not the same for everybody, but I feel like for the most part when I see that, it feels like it's just kind of out of a fear of disappearing. And you just gotta let it go. Like, you just can't do that. And I know it can take a lot of impulse control to not get desperate, but I think that is the thing that is most important to kind of keep an eye on if you're going to guard your behavior online, is to just not be that guy. Because people can smell that a mile away, and it's not going to help you.
Yeah.
But one piece of advice, it's don't do that.
Yeah. No, and see, and that's what I was talking about with Mark when we did that Art and Story Extreme, is that, you know, there's very little good advice being doled out as far as how to engage from a philosophical sense. It's like, you want to engage? You can use Twitter. Follow a few people. You'll have fun. Okay, well, how do I tweet? How do I interact with people? You know,
go ahead. I mean, I like what you were saying about that, and just, you know, talk about what you like, because, and I know it sounds like platitudes, but it's something that I'm finally starting to realize myself, is that if you are yourself as a creator and that's the person that you put out there, I mean, obviously not 100%. I'm not going to talk about like my medical problems or something like that. Like, you don't have to be completely honest. Or just completely out there, rather. But you're going to find
completely candid.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. It's honest. Oh, yeah. It's not. You don't have to do that. But if you're yourself, you'll find people that are kind of like-minded.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that when I started a webcomic, I had to, you know, become best friends with the webcomics canon of who is the big people. And it's when you're worrying about that you're not going to do it. Like, you'll find a posse.
Yeah. It's like I always come back to this idea of something Tom Root said to me, and I know I've said this story a bunch of times, but it's worth repeating. And it's when I was going to send some of my comics to Keith Giffen and thank him. And it was just so that I could share the fact that I had accomplished something, and I wanted to share that achievement with him because he kind of inspired me. And Tom said, wouldn't it be much better if you met him as a peer someday, you know, where he is familiar with your work? And I was like, no, that would be a lot better. Than writing some sappy fan letter to a guy, you know, and instead of trying to get into some other group, it's my experience much more satisfying to start your own group. Which
and then you have the confidence because you know you don't need to make friends with these people, and then sooner or later you find out that you probably will end up getting along with them once you're not. Yeah, like you said, it's better to approach people as a peer, and you will notice the difference when people respect you as a creator versus if you're coming off as a fanboy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very noticeable difference in how people kind of approach you. So I think you always want to conduct yourself with... I feel like I'm just giving like general advice, not really specifically internet advice.
But it's so funny that, and it's awful in its humor, is that the line from Aladdin where Robin Williams turns into a bee and says, "Be yourself," it's so awful in that it is such a bromide, but it is. It's absolutely true, and it's something that every new round of cartoonists have to learn over and over again.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, it sounds like a bromide, but then you realize it's something you learn yourself. You'll hear a million people tell you that. It's like how you'll hear a million people to tell you to keep practicing, and that's how you get better. And you don't realize it until you look back, and you're like, oh, that's what I did, and that's what worked. And just be yourself, and be confident about who you are. I mean, if you have to fake it, then fake it. I know what that's like.
You have a story?
Oh, no. I'm constantly crippled with self-doubt. That's basically my story.
I don't think that ever goes away, though. You know, like 90% of the time when I'm drawing, I feel pretty good about it. Like, not like, oh, I'm such a great artist, but like, oh, this is fun. I'm having fun. So I'm curious. I'm curious, Casey. We've just talked in a lot of broad senses about this sense of, okay, believe in yourself, be relaxed, have fun doing this stuff, and then people will see you having fun, and then they'll want to gather around. Hey, what's all the fun about over here?
Yeah.
But are there any specific things, like specific behaviors that maybe we should... That let's just say this, that are exclusive to us, like you and me individually, what are some of our pet peeves in terms of things that are like, that say to us, whether it's intended or not, you know, whininess, passive aggression, desperation. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, or do you want me to start so that you're not the bad guy?
No, I think I don't mind being the bad guy with this. I mean, I'm always angry on Twitter anyway.
You are not always angry on Twitter. You're intense.
Tell me that. Intense?
Yeah, you're just intense. You're just like kind of like a pro wrestler where it's like they're not really mad. They're just like they're in your face, you know?
It's gonna break your chair over somebody.
Yeah.
Chair made of comics. No, that's comics for lunch.
Oh my god, I'm so gonna start doing that all the time. I was gonna say of comics at the end of everything.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Work. No, I think it's that passive aggressive desperation that's just my biggest pet peeve. Like, I don't care if somebody's a jerk. I don't care if somebody's candid to the point of being gross. If they do it with confidence, then it's at least engaging. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of people that have much more forceful personalities than I do that I follow or I'm friends with, and I don't mind it at all. But it's the people who get really passive aggressive or really desperate in that whole, like, please like me. If they only talk to you because they think you're important.
Yeah,
that's another one that comes across. I know a couple of people that do that, and then I have to tell them I'm not that important, so they need to calm down. But yeah, it's just there's some things that just come off as crass, and I'm sure if I see it, it's probably happening much more to people who are much have bigger audiences than I do. I had a Twitter follower. I don't remember who. I don't know if they're still following me. They added me to a list that was people. It was comics artists who have not followed me back yet.
Oh.
And I was like, well, you can add me to the list of somebody who never will now.
Yeah, that is passive aggression.
Yeah. At that point, I wasn't even willing to look at their Twitter. It was just, you know, let me look at this and make sure that I know never to follow this person.
And, you know, they might have meant that just as like a self-depreciating joke, you know? But
yeah,
whatever the intent, it comes off badly, you know? Oh, I mean, or at least it has like a very, very high potential to come off badly to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was a, I'll have to find it again. David Malky put up a thing today about convention etiquette, and it was more from a convention goer standpoint. But some of the stuff I think applies, where he was talking about where if you're nervous about approaching somebody, just to pretend you're a more confident person.
Yeah.
And then avoid that from happening. But the other thing he mentioned is another pet peeve, and it was something that ended up being a big internet argument where Kate Beaton was complaining about it, and it's something I've seen happen to her a lot. When you're talking to a lady creator, don't tell them you want to marry them.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say any creepy stuff like that. That's something not completely related, but I was just reminded, and that's another big pet peeve.
Actually, I remember I used to know... when I was in high school, I ran with a clique for a little while, and it was like the one and only clique I ever ran with. And it was like my trial by fire where I realized I don't like being in cliques. And it was a group of kind of like, they would be insanely popular today because they were like math nerds, astronomy nerds, and they role played, but they were also really into like Monty Python and theater, and you know, they were just like that kind of kid. And they always laughed like whenever they laughed. And honest to God, some of them really did laugh like that. It was astonishing. But I remember whenever the topic of Natalie Merchant would come up, they'd be like, they would all say, "Oh, I want to have her babies," and they're supposed to be clever because they can't have babies because they're guys and blah blah blah. And but it's just, yeah. Even then, I was like, ew. You know?
I know, because a lot of people got really upset about that when she complained about it, and they were like, well, we're just trying to be witty and clever, and, you know, it's just a nice thing to say because we appreciate it. It's still creepy.
Yeah,
it's still
it is.
Really creepy. So it, don't do that.
I'll tell you what. If I was ever, you know, somebody that people would go to conventions to see, and a young woman... or an old woman, for that matter, came up to me and said, "I want to marry you," I would be creeped out, you know?
Yeah, I think it definitely goes both ways, because there are some creepy ladies out there, too, I should be fair. There are some ladies that probably say, like... I want to have your baby, which is creepier at that point, because then it sounds a little more honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes both ways. Don't be that person.
Don't even bring that into the discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... We all want so badly to be appreciated for our work anyway. Uh-huh. You know, talk about that.
Yeah. Talk about how awesome your comic is.
Yeah.
Except don't do it like 6 times in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one of my pet peeves is when I see somebody who is just using social media as an advertising channel. Now, I want to say, I post my share of links. You know, look at the thing I did.
Yeah.
But if somebody asks me a question or if I see an interesting discussion happening, I get involved. So I would hope that my share of tweets and Facebooks are also discussion as much as it is about me talking about the thing I did. But when I see somebody, and you know, I understand the argument that, okay, not the same people are logged into Twitter at any given point of the day, so you should do multiple posts. But when it's 3, 4, 5 posts a day of, you should read my comic.
Did you see my comic yet? Did you see my comic yet? Hey, did you see it? Yeah. I understand, like, I've seen a lot of people I follow will do, if they post a new page late at night, they'll do another retweet in the morning for the people who weren't up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
In case you missed it last night.
Yeah, you get a morning retweet. Yeah. And that's not a problem. You do it once when you think there's going to be a bigger crowd, and that's fine. But yeah, when you get the same tweet several times, it gets the same sense as that whole please retweet thing. Mm-hmm. It starts to come off as a little, you know, a little too hard sell.
Yeah.
You know, like, did you check it out yet? Did you read my comic yet? And yeah, I don't think there's a problem with putting links to yourself in what you're doing, because obviously if somebody's following you, they're interested in what you're doing and what you have to say. So if you're, you know, putting up a link to when you're streaming, or if you have a new project up, or if you put up a new thing on Tumblr or whatever, I mean, I really like that about people, because I forget to check when things update, especially if it's something that doesn't have a regular update schedule. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to just follow something that's only that. Usually if you're following somebody or somebody's following you, you're interested in them as a person too. So you have to put that in there. Like, it's a balance you have to reach. And it's just, I mean, it's something that you kind of come across.
If you were to put an arbitrary number on it, I would say don't retweet your own stuff for within a 12-hour period. I mean,
I would say give it, and
I want to say that is totally arbitrary, but it's just that I've seen people do it like every 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, that's too much.
And yeah,
do it once when the sun is down and once when the sun is up.
you mean, like, as the old druids say.
As the time passes. I know, I feel like I should carve that on a tree or something. In runes.
Yeah, in the Tengwar, you know. Hey. Yeah. So what about mentioning other people who are more famous than you and using the @ when you mention their name? Do you do that?
Yeah, if it comes up in, you know, if you're trying to start a conversation, then sure. I did that earlier today. Kate Beaton mentioned something, or retweeted it, and I gave her a rebuttal, and she actually said thank you for it. And you know, you're trying to start I feel like I'm just dropping names today. Well, Kate Beaton added me once. When it's things like that, if you want to jump into a conversation, or if you have something pertinent to say about them,
yeah,
then yeah. I mean, if they're on Twitter, you might as well just use their Twitter handle.
That's how I like to think about it. If I'm saying something in regards to something that I'm listening to them say, and then I just want to point other people at it, like, oh, so-and-so's saying something interesting over here, you should follow their feed. But I don't, like, sometimes I'll see, this is where I try to be careful, is literally doing name dropping in order to, you know, hope that they'll pay attention to you somehow. Oh, did they mention my name? They might be somebody that I want to follow. You know, I don't know, you know, this may be me reading into things, but I'll get that sort of vibe from some posts sometimes.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think the most blatant of it is when they just tack the name on the end.
Yeah. But
like, they'll say something kind of unrelated, and then it'll be like, space case. Not that anybody's done that to me, but you know.
Oh, of course not. Kate Beaton.
No. Everybody, I only get contacted with useful information.
Oh. No, I mean,
the
other day I mentioned Weird Al Yankovic in a post, and I thought, well, should I or should I not use the @? Because I'm not doing it to
Twitter. I mean.
Well, yeah, I figured, you know, I don't, what was it? Or no, it wasn't Al Yankovic. It was Pee Wee Herman. That's who it was. Uh-huh. And it's like, I'm not doing this for his attention, so maybe I shouldn't. I'm not doing this to engage in a conversation with him. But then I thought, well, what if there's somebody who follows me who doesn't know that he's on Twitter who'd want to know? Okay, well, then I will, you know. Yeah. But that was the crisis I faced as I was thinking about to @ or not to @, you know. It's like, I just want to make sure that what I'm doing here is honest and not meant to be pleading.
No, I think if you're just mentioning someone in passing, then that's totally fair game. Because you're not saying, like, please follow me. It's just a common way of referring to somebody. I think it looks weirder if you don't use their Twitter handle and they have one. Like, I think that can be a little, because it kind of gives the sense of, like, if I see somebody do that, I'll be like, did you not know they're on Twitter? Because they're okay. Here. You can do that.
So see, this is why I wanted to talk to you about this, because that's an etiquette thing, isn't it? If they're on Twitter, you should use their @.
I don't see why not. I mean, maybe there's a reason that I'm not thinking of, but I don't think, I mean, I don't think it'll come across as a spam tweet if you're saying something worthwhile.
Like, what if I'm saying, like, Scott Kurtz is a big jerk and I hate him?
Maybe not as constructive.
No, and I would never ever say that because I don't feel that way. But but I'm just saying because, you know, that's the kind of stuff that some people do. Like, some people just are, you know, trollish. So
yeah, well, you probably shouldn't say things like that on Twitter in the first place. So I don't know whether or not that's a matter of whether you should use their handle or not. I don't think Twitter is the right place to call out people.
Yeah.
If you have it in a mean-spirited way, like I've called people out in debate before.
Yes.
Which might be why people think I'm mean or angry. But it's usually because I'm interested in what they have to say and I, you know, am challenging something that they've mentioned. Like if I actually have a bone to pick with somebody, I won't bring it to Twitter. Like I was pretty mad about something that was happening on Twitter the other day and I kept it to myself. Like I wasn't going to start a fight with individual people about it.
Hmm.
That was really vague, but it wasn't a big deal. I was just kind of annoyed and I wasn't going to whine about it on Twitter because it just didn't feel constructive.
Yeah.
But if I have something constructive to say to somebody about like something that they're saying about comics, and that's usually it. It's just if it's about comics, that's when I'll call people out.
If it's to debate a topic or to discuss something that's happening in I guess that's what it is. Like, this is just my personal feeling is I really don't like getting into personal debate. Right?
Yeah.
Like whether or not so-and-so is a jerk. But if it's debating like the nature, like, is this a bad move to do this or is this a good move to do that? What do you think is going to happen in the next 10 years? That's fun. But I'm not going to get into like who's nicer, Mark or Kevin, you know? That's just a waste of time and it really is improper for...
Yeah, that's just a waste of everybody's time unless they're, you know, really into soap opera style, like celebrity rag kind of like, oh, this creator is a jerk. And
I guess so. But there are some people who like TMZ, you know?
Yeah.
But,
that's the kind of thing you talk about at parties. You don't talk about it on Twitter.
That's true. That is true. You know,
there's a difference between party conversations and Twitter conversations.
That is something that I always feel is like a dangerous sort of like, description to give it because it sounds like something else, but like there's conversation you have at the bar with your friends and there's conversation you have in public. And I think that's the kind of thing where, it's like if I'm going to sass mouth about somebody that I know personally, or if I'm going to sass mouth somebody in the professional field who did me wrong, you know, in a personal way, that's going to be with my buddies. But
is an important thing to keep in mind as a creator, though. Don't talk smack about a company unless you're willing to completely burn all bridges with them.
Yeah.
Like, if you know for a fact you never want to work with this company or anybody involved with it, then call them out by name.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Otherwise, maybe don't do it. Like, if you're mad about something an editor did for DC or Marvel, maybe don't call that editor out by name. Don't go say they're a jackass on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get back to them. I mean, maybe not right away, but it can and it might. Especially if you're using their app.
You know, this is actually in, I don't know if this is in Hinduism or Taoism, one of the two. It says, like, all words you use are ships that you're floating on the sea and be careful for what shore that they land on or something along the line. Mm-hmm. It was probably actually in a fortune cookie. it's just amplified through this social media and digital media. I'll tell you something I struggle with a lot, Case, and I'd love to get your take on this. Complaining about something that happened to me as a creator. Now, not necessarily complain about like, oh, I stubbed my toe, nothing mundane, but like, you know, highs and lows happen. And I get my share of very kind emails and I get my share of nasty emails, outright mean emails.
Yeah.
And when, you know what, like everybody, sometimes those emails make you feel pretty rotten. Sometimes it's like, oh, really? Am I really that obnoxious? I don't know. And the temptation will occur to go, you know, why do people got to be so mean, you know, on Twitter? or on Facebook.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
And then I always stop myself. I always, well, at least I think I always do. I don't know. Maybe I had too much to drink that night. Maybe I posted something that I shouldn't have. But for the most part, I think I stop myself because I always chicken out saying, no, that's that to me is putting it's putting the attention on me. And it's fine to put the attention on stuff I did or on stuff I'm excited about, but not me. I don't know what your take on that.
No, I agree. I think things like that, even if they are related to your comic, I think that falls in the realm of party conversation. That's the kind of thing that you complain to your friends about off of Twitter. But I don't think it's right to bring it on Twitter. But then again, I try to at least stay mostly positive on my Twitter. I don't want to, not only just for, you know, other people's sake, like, I don't think people want to see you complaining about how somebody said a mean thing. Because if you're, if you're going to be really vague about it, either you get too specific and you're calling somebody out, or you're too vague and it's like, I get sad because people say mean things sometimes. And I mean, not to like, I'm not trying to kind of, you know, dismiss what you said, because I know exactly what you mean. And it is really tempting to do it. But I think, personally, I feel like it's better to not do that. I think it's better to, you know, run to somebody else who will console you and then, you know, get it out of your system that way rather than get it involved. And I think not just because it's not interesting to other people, or maybe it is, but, you know, it changes the tone of how you present yourself. But when you look at your own feed, you're going to see that and you're going to be reminded of how crappy that thing was. I mean, that was like when I first started on the internet. I had a Live Journal back in the day. And I mean, I started in high school, and it has all this awful high school angst in it. And
I gotta find it now.
No. It's I made all the, well, you probably could. It's still out there. Like, I changed it to be more to kind of fit the way that I conduct myself on Twitter or everywhere else, to kind of keep a cohesive thing. But I'm sure you can see things about, like, how I hate my teacher and I can't keep up with my homework and I don't like this, and I mean, I private lock them, but it's a bummer to look back on, because then it just reminds you of how crappy you felt. So I think it's, well, also, and, for that reason, you want to look back and remember things positively.
That's a really good reason that I hadn't even considered. But I'll tell you one of the reasons that I always stop myself beyond that, too. And I don't know if this is me. See, this is where we're, like, just talking about anything publicly will reveal stuff about you. And I suspect that this might be some borderline neurosis on my part. But when you do that, everybody turns out to go, oh, no, you're awesome. You're a great person.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, there was this time when I was standing, I know I've told the story on Thunder Punch Daily before. When I was a little kid, I didn't like to play sports and I didn't like to run around. I liked to play pretend, you know, and I liked to draw.
Yeah.
And as a result, none of the boys really cared to play with me. And that, you know, so what I would do is I would literally stand up against a wall and just stare off into the distance and just be in my own head, which I was having a ball. I was riding around with Bumblebee on the streets of New York City, you know? But then some kids noticed that I was always against the wall, and that was like the punishment. I don't know if that is like a common thing at schools, but like when you were punished for doing something bad, they'd make you stand against the wall.
Yeah, you have to stand in the
corner. Yeah. And so they thought I was in trouble, and so kids came up, and they're like, are you in trouble? And I said, no, I'm just standing against the wall. And so then they all started to feel sorry for me and like, oh, come on, I'll play with you. And it felt awful. It was the worst experience ever. I felt terrible. Yeah. So I was like, I didn't want your pity. I just wanted to play with people who wanted to play with me. And that's what I pick up on when I see people going, oh, no, you're great. Now I know these people.
Yeah, you kind of get that sense of like fishing for compliments.
Yes. And I know that the
even
people
if
who
that's
are
not what you're doing, that's what you're going to get.
Yes. Yes. And and even if the compliments are sincere, it's still to me, it feels awful to get compliments when it sounded like I asked for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It sounds like begging for it at that point.
Yeah.
Please like my comic.
Yeah. And again, this may be a neurosis on my part, because I really am more comfortable with people making fun of me than praising me, in generally speaking. But as I bet a lot of people feel that way. But but whenever I see that happening on Twitter and everybody going, oh, no, you're great. It just makes me feel really uncomfortable.
It feels, even if it is sincere, it feels insincere.
Yeah, it's a tricky slope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Because, yeah,
you know, you wonder if they're saying it just because they think that's what you want to hear, or if they do mean it. It's just the timing is weird. So yeah, I understand it from that perspective too. Is you don't want to, you know,
so that, that's like, there, like that, that's reason enough for me to not play too many of my emotions publicly. You know, and really try to only focus on. My rules of engagement are pretty simple. It's like, okay, it should, yeah, generally speaking, be positive, although you can get mad if it's on behalf of comics. And two is it should always be about either something you did or something you're excited about, but never about how cool you are. I mean, that's off limits for me. Or at least I try to do that.
Yeah. I feel like you can talk about what's happened to you in the day-to-day. If you can, at least that's how I approach it, is like, if something happened to me, I'll post about it if I can turn it into an anecdote.
Yes. Or
if I can make it entertaining in some way. It doesn't have to be funny, although I usually try to make it funny. You know, just something that somebody might get something out of. Like, so I can talk about, like, my dentist appointment if I think I have something interesting to say about it. I probably don't, but if I feel that way, I'll try it.
No, but see, there's a different thing. I mean, like, because, like, that's observational, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're talking about what you're seeing in the dentist office.
Yeah. So I think you can approach things like that. And you can get more personal with it, if, at least that's how I approach it, is if you can make it more general, more relatable, I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, I'm sad because I have to go to the grocery store and I don't want to. That was a cool tweet. That was a really cool tweet.
I'm totally going to tweet that right now.
Oh, sweet. Cool story.
Oh, I'm sad because I have to go to the grocery store and I don't want to.
Actually, have you ever read any Akewood?
Not in a long time.
Oh, my God. There's one strip where Philippe, the five-year-old otter, roast beef is chronically depressed. And so he, Philippe, roast beef is a cat. Roast beef asks Theodore, who's the teddy bear, what it means that roast beef is depressed. And Theodore's like, oh, well, he can't do things like go to the grocery store. And Philippe's like, well, that's easy. You just go to the grocery store and you're there. And Theodore's like, not if you have depression. And then it's just roast beef standing sadly in front of the grocery store. And then he hangs his head and leaves.
You know,
cool,
and
the story.
And that's another thing altogether that I think about too, is that, you know, some people are just, that's who they are. And yeah. This is why this topic is so dicey for me, because I feel like by saying, like, I always try to be positive and I always try to be constructive, uh-huh, unless I'm outraged about something to do with comics. Well,
yeah,
I don't have a depressive personality. You know, if somebody does, then who am I to tell them to, hey, cheer up, dude?
But then, I mean, that's the kind of, again, it goes to attracting the kind of people that you are. Like, you find like-minded people like that.
Yeah.
Because that's how I try to conduct myself, too. But I'm sure if somebody is depressed or wants to talk about how sad they are, they'll find people that either, I don't want to say they'll find other depressed people, but find people that have a similar mindset. Like, it doesn't have to be them talking about how sad they are all the time, but you'll find other people. Comics is wide enough. You'll find people that have similar mentalities to you, or at least close enough that you share something in common.
So as a closer to this whole thing, I found the closer. All of the anecdotes we were sharing and all of the personal attitudes we were sharing, all you have to do is replace them with what you, the listener, who I'm talking to now, replace them with your core beliefs and your core cherished ideals, and then you've got something. We're not saying you have to be cheerful or that you have to be positive or you have to carry your cards close to the vest, but you do have to think about very hard who you really are deep down, and what is it about you. Like, speaking of that kid who I was mentoring earlier in this episode, I told him that he had to define his target audience, and he's like, well, how do you do that? And I was like, well, think of the people you'd most want to be at a party with. That's your mm-hmm. target audience, the people who you know you could have a good conversation with. And I'm not talking about specific people. I'm saying you have to characterize the person who you'd most be at ease around.
Yeah.
And I think if that's a good thought experiment to think about for who you are as a person engaging in social media, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to jump off into how you want to present yourself too, because you think of your target audience as who you want to hang out with at a party. You think of how you conduct yourself as how you would act in the company of those people.
Yeah.
And I think however you would act in that situation is how you should approach how you present yourself online.
There we go. So, Casey, yeah. You just wrote the book. You wrote the Netiquette book. We got to jot the notes down and put together a quick ebook that we can sell for $40.
Sweet. Please retweet.
We could do everything in our power to become internet douchebags. Let's do it.
Oh, sweet. Let's do it. I'm going to be an SEO guru.
And I'm going to create 45 fake Twitter accounts with pictures of pretty girls in names like Sonya123.
Oh, the new trend is pictures of cats.
Oh, are you serious?
I had like 7 in a row, the same cat picture. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, man.
I think it's because I mentioned that my Achilles heel was an all cat retweet thing that followed me. And it was just tweets about cats. And I think I exposed my Achilles tendon and they all went for it. And I was like, it doesn't work that way. I don't care if there's a picture of a cat if you're telling me about mortgages.
Imagine if they extended that to real life, where like a door-to-door salesman comes to your house and he's just holding up a picture of a cat while he's talking to you about vacuum cleaners.
I was picturing a guy wearing a cat hood.
Oh, that'd be all right.
Like his face cut out and it's just like a little...
That would be a little Stanley Kubrick The Shining, but...
yeah, that'd be more creepy than anything. But I can't say I would close the door right away. I'd hear him out.
There's more free advice for those of you who are traveling salesmen.
Yeah.
Oh, Casey.
Or you could wear a cat hat to a... Don't do that. Don't wear a cat hat to a convention. Don't do it. Don't especially, be that guy.
Especially if you're a 35-year-old man.
Do it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, Casey, I can't thank you enough for this. I think this was good. At the very least, if nobody else got anything out of it, I feel exercised. I needed to know that I wasn't alone in this, you know?
Yeah.
So
no, I totally agree. That was really fun. And I guess we share a lot of the sensibilities on that.
That must be why we get along, because you acting the way you do attracted me to you, or vice versa, or same time.
Exactly. And that was, I mean, a lot of that is just from personal experience of doing this crap for 2 years. When I started, I thought I was going to have to, like, make friends with the big people in webcomics. Like, I was going to be hanging out with, like, maybe not, like, Scott Kurtz or whatever, but I was going to be hanging out with, like, Meredith Grant and, like, Kate Beaton, all the people in New York. And I was, like, I felt really pressured to find a way to kind of to get in with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think that click. My comic doesn't fit. I'm never going to make friends in webcomics. And I'm like, totally by accident, I started meeting other people whose comics and personalities matched me more anyway. Like,
so the journey of webcomics is sort of like a John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like you pine after the pretty girl. And then your real friend was there all along. It was Ducky.
Exactly. I was trying to... Oh my God, I'm in like a crappy Saturday morning cartoon. I was trying to be with the cool kids.
Yeah.
And then my friends were the nerdy ones. But no, like, I mean, I met Tracy Williams completely by accident.
Oh, really?
That was when I was like stressing out about like, I'm never going to make friends in webcomics. I'm going to be stuck with like people I went to school with who don't even make comics anymore.
You're going to be stuck with those crap bags. No, that would suck.
Oh, forget them. Oh no, that was the biggest bummer. I had like the biggest existential crisis when I graduated, because most of my friends up until my senior year were upperclassmen. I saw them all graduate during my and during my senior year, none of them made comics anymore. Not a single one of them.
Oh no!
And I freaked out about it. And I was like, "That's going to be me. I don't want that to happen to me. That's going to happen to me." And I even said something to my department head and my teacher, and I was like, I don't want to turn it. And they were like, well, you know, people take time off and they come back to it. And it depends on the person. And if you're, you know, dedicated enough, that's not going to happen to you. And so it didn't.
That was very good advice they gave you, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about what I would have said, and I would have said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I will never forgive you.
Just don't stop making comics. Yeah. The head of my department, he was like, I didn't paint for 10 years. He said that he worked like a construction job for 10 years, and then he got back to painting, and now he's in galleries in New York.
Wow.
So I was like, well, I guess if you look at it that way, but I'm going to start a webcomic anyway.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's nice, but it's funny that, like, going to school for comics doesn't matter. It was just a bummer when I realized that. I think a lot of people did it because they thought they could get other jobs that way.
Oh, that's funny.
I know, right? Yeah, you realize that's a bad idea really quickly. Because there are a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm going to major in comics, and then I'm going to become a video game character designer.
I can sort of see it.
But at that point, you could also do illustration and then not spend $30,000 a year or whatever the hell it is.
I'm so glad I didn't go to school.
I'm going to be in debt for the rest of my life. No, I don't regret going to school. I loved the hell out of SVA. Like, I would go back in a heartbeat if I could afford it.
Yeah.
But it's just so much money. And it's really crushing when you realize there's not a lot of money in comics.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're spending a disproportionate amount to what you'll probably make, that's something you have to face up to sooner or later.
The money you spend to go to school is what you'll make in about 15 to 20 years in comics.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless you like make it big, which I guess is why they focus on, a lot of the focus is still, depending on the teacher you take, on learning how to draw for mainstream companies.
Mm.
Not so much at SVA, thankfully. I hear SCAD is very much like that. Like, SCAD is very, very, very like, get a job at DC or Marvel. Which is ironic, because DC and Marvel are in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of my teachers worked for DC or Marvel. You can intern there from the school and everything like that. But there was still more of a focus of like, well, if you want to do your own thing, that's cool too. Please. I'm just going on a huge tangent now.
No. This is actually really interesting because I don't know anything. I don't know anything about these programs, and these were the programs that I would have loved to have had when I was a kid.
Yeah, I absolutely loved their program. Their curriculum is great. Their faculty is amazing. I mean, David Mazzucchelli teaches at my school.
Wow.
Like I got a lot of what I learned secondhand from Will Eisner. Essentially, now I'm just dropping names, but I love the faculty because I think I've told you before, my favorite teacher ever, Joey Cavalieri, also went to SVA and he learned from Will Eisner. And I told Joey before I started doing the workshops I was doing, I was like, I hope you don't mind, but I'm probably going to take a lot of your material. And he's like, I stole everything I know from Will Eisner. Please just take everything. And I was like, okay. But yeah, no, it's a great program, but it's just, which is why it's even sadder that so many people I know don't do anything in comics. They're starting to get back into it. Like, I'm starting to see people either doing webcomics or getting jobs with companies.
Well, and I was going to say before we went on the school tangent is that you will make money in comics because when we finish Holly Hammerhands, we're going to sell it to Top Shelf and we're going to win a whole bunch of book awards.
$1 million.
No, Several hundred thousand. Yeah. I'll settle for that.
We're going to sell a book deal. We're going to get a movie. And, somebody tweeted that at me during the Oscars. I was saying that, like, I kind of like watching them because it makes me think of how cool it would be to, like, just work. Just be a no-name in the film industry, you know? Just, like doing film editing or something like that. Like, that part of it, I think, is cool. And then somebody reply to that and they were like, yeah, or you could sell your webcomic and get the film rights and make millions because that wins an Oscar. And I was like, ew. I want that to happen.
You know, I think about that sometimes, and I think about how, and now we're totally not on any topic at all, but I think about like how if one of my books got made into a movie, I would do everything in my power to sabotage the movie, to make it an utter train wreck so that I get my money. right? Because nobody who goes to the movie reads the comic anyway. So you make the movie into a complete and utter just wreck of garbage. And everybody's like, that's the worst thing ever made. I don't have my name associated with it. I take the money and then
I keep my comic.
My comic. I have my comic. I get to sell that to people. And then people say, is this anything to do with that movie? I go, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that movie.
Nothing to do with it.
You know, you can't copyright a name. I can't stop people from using a name, so.
Yeah, or people just hurry up and forget about it. The movie they did with the last Airbender movie.
There you go. See? Perfect. And maybe that's what the Airbender guys did. You ever think of that?
They were like, let's get M. Night Shyamalan to do this. and he'll wreck it.
If any movie gets made of one of the comics I've worked on, I'm going to get Shyamalan and Frank Miller to do it. That'd be great.
Oh, man.
Because they can capture the absolute opposite essence of my work.
Oh, yeah. Frank. Oh, my God. I'm trying to picture Frank Miller's The Front.
See?
Oh, that's awful.
It'd be beautiful. It would be glorious. Oh, my God. Like watching a, you know, like a 22 car pileup.
Booker or something. Oh, I mean, like, just like a lady. Like, everybody's just whores for some reason.
Especially Opal. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Opal would be like the really rough-mouthed woman who runs the bordello, you know?
Yeah. Or it would just be, or he would just turn into Marv.
See? I don't know. So,
you're absolutely right, because nobody remembers that awful Spirit movie.
See?
Except for me when I get mad. Oh.
When Casey writes in all caps.
Yeah.
So, hey, I don't want to take up any more of your time. We should roll out of here. As fun as this is. And if people like this, hearing us just wax on like this, then let us know and we will do more. But so, Casey, where can people find you?
Oh, are we still recording?
Yeah.
Rambled like nobody's business.
Isn't that awesome? It's like now they know what a conversation really sounds like between us.
Yeah, exactly. You can find me at wintersandlavelle.com or
Space Case on Twitter. Space Case with a K. K-A-S-E. That's right. For all of your all cap needs. And hey, just throw this out. Who's your favorite person to follow on Twitter right now?
Ooh, tough call.
I know. This is a whole other form of netiquette, because now you got to decide between giving a plug to somebody that who you're friends with and somebody who's exciting you online.
Man, I just... I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my follow list. Norm MacDonald has a Twitter now. This isn't even a comics plug, but his Twitter is just so absurd. His description is just... This is my official Twitter. I like bananas. They're yellow. They're just so inane.
So, wait a minute. How do you spell his handle?
It's just Norm MacDonald. MacDonald.
Okay.
And, I mean, if I'm thinking comics-wise, I will have to get back to you on that.
No, it doesn't have to be a comics person. I mean, I...
Child.
What?
I said it's like picking your favorite child.
Oh, and it doesn't even need to be a comics person, though, because I think that, you know, the other glory of social media is we can expose ourselves to different things that we wouldn't normally get exposed to.
Besides comics every once in a while. But those, I think his tweets have, I don't know if that's going to kind of fall in everybody else's sense of humor, but I think his tweets are the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
Well, cool. All right. And I would throw out my... How about me? I was going to say... this guy has zillions of followers, so I feel kind of like mixed feelings, promoting somebody who already has like literally tens of thousands of followers. But Jeff Jarvis is a journalist who I follow, who I have mixed feelings on as well, just about the way he posts, because he's this guy who's like very much an advocate for the press and for the openness of media. And sometimes he gets a little bit preachy, but I had fun watching him just totally bash the TED Talks over the last 2 days. And so on the one hand, I don't agree with everything the man says, but I admire his passion. And I think he makes a good argument when he needs to. So
yeah. And that can be compelling reads on Twitter too.
Exactly. I like following people that I don't agree with sometimes.
Yeah.
So, providing that they're interesting. That's all I really care about.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thanks, Case. This was very interesting and stimulating for
me. Oh, anytime.
And thanks for your time. Gosh.
No problem.
A lot of your time. So until next time, everybody, this has been your Thunder Punch special number one. And I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch special. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today, I want to talk to you about courage. Now, courage not only means being brave in the face of danger, it also means having the strength to say no when your friends are trying to talk you into doing something you know is wrong. In short, courage means having principles and sticking to them, no matter what. See you all again soon.